It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
See what happens. Verse 30 and 31.
And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again.
Oh, this is the reason he's saying, please don't tell, because the time is coming. They are going to arrest me. They are going to kill me. But I'm going to rise again. So he told them the secret. This is why I'm telling you not to tell. Keep it to yourself and wait for the right timing. Verse 32.
And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men.
When Jesus Christ said, these people are going to kill me, and so Peter didn't want Jesus to be killed. He loved him so much, so he took him aside. Please don't go, stay here. But he rebuked, means he might be using some strong language. So he rebuked him, you should not be going there. You remember Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus took Peter, John, and James on the mountain, and then he got transformed and they saw Elijah and Moses and Jesus, and Peter was so excited, and Peter started saying, you know, Jesus, we should make a 3 homes. They said tabernacle, but just use like a house. I make 1 house for you, 1 house for Elijah, 1 house for Moses, and we'll stay in this mountain. Why he was saying? Because he didn't want Jesus to get killed. So we will be safe in the mountain, stay here. And not only that, he was thinking Jesus Christ is the prophet. Just like Moses is the prophet, Elijah is the prophet, and Jesus is the prophet. So let's stay here with the prophet. Voice came from heaven. He said, he is my beloved son. Who? Jesus. He is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Why he said that? Because Moses was saying, Lord, I cannot lead these people. Then God said, I'm going to send another prophet just like you, and they will listen to him. And if they don't listen, then they will be punished. And so Peter didn't know that, even though he read it in the book. And so here also he says, we don't have to go there. You should not be get killed. And so when he took Jesus away, Jesus turned around, and there are 11 disciples are still standing. So he looked at them, and then he started rebuking Peter. Read the words following.
And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me.
He said to Peter, your eyes is on the worldly thing. You are thinking about people, you are thinking about the world, and your mind is not a spiritual thing. Even though he said a few minutes ago, you are the Messiah, you are the Christ. But the same minute, Jesus Christ told him, get behind me, Satan. 1 minute he was acting like an angel, another minute Jesus Christ called him, you are having influence by Satan, so said, get behind me, Satan. So what the Word of God is trying to say, our eyes should be on a spiritual matter, not the worldly thing. But God says, I'm going to supply those needs. You should be following me. So Christian life is looking unto Jesus and doing our race. There will be so many obstacles coming in a Christian life. But if we set our eyes in God, eyes on Jesus Christ, we will have no problem, because he is the answer for our problems. So he is trying to say, there are some people now, they're only not 12 disciples, but he called so many other people, come here, let me tell you something. And then he's saying, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow. Now somebody will say, I don't understand what the cross is, taking the cross and following. You remember that man, Arthur Blessed, but he had the tumor. They could not operate on his brain tumor. So he thought, I'm going to die anyhow. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick up cross and tell everybody about Jesus. So he went around the world, preaching the gospel, taking the cross, and it was not easy because he has to go to several places and people arrested him, people started to beat him, and so many problems came. But at the same time, his tumor disappeared and he was completely healed. Now they got a movie about him and about the cross. The point I'm making, taking the cross means you are going to suffer for Christ. That's what it is. And so it is better to suffer for Christ, and then we will have all the benefits what God has given to Christ. Christ is our big brother. If we suffer with him, then we will be reigning with him, and we will have all the benefits. Verse 35.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it.
If you save your life, you lose it. Person says, how come? I didn't get this. I'm trying to protect my life. How am I going to lose it? Now just think. One person lived in this world, enjoying the world, doing every sinful activity. How long he's going to live? Maybe he's healthy, 70 years, 80 years. Maybe there are some people now living 100 years, or 105, 110, 113, 118, or 120. Then what? One day you're going to die. Then what? Then where are you going to spend eternity? You try to enjoy your life, maybe 120, and you thought, nothing is going to happen to me, and nothing happened to you for 120 years. After that, what? When you die, and if you didn't live for Christ, if you didn't live for God, you're going to go to hellfire. That means you lost. Whatever you gain within 120 years, eternity is a, you cannot even measure. That 120 means nothing. So our life is very short, and we're thinking, I don't want to give my life to Jesus. I have enough time to enjoy. And young people, when you go to young people, they say, we have enough time to enjoy. Don't tell me about Jesus. When I get old, then I'll come to Jesus. How many young people are dying? Teenagers are dying. And they will never make it. And so we have to decide, this life is very short and eternal life is very long. So we should choose the eternal life, not the short life, which gives you enjoyment, but the end of it is death. Verse 36.
For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what you profit? You remember last time we heard the story? The man said to one man, run and put land under your feet. As much as land you put under your feet, I'll give it to you. So you keep on running, one more acre, one more foot. Keep on running, running, running. And after that, got tired and dropped dead. How much land he got? Zero. The word of God is saying, if you gain the whole world and you drop dead, what you profit? Nothing. You'll go to hell without God. Verse 37.
Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Now somebody says, I don't understand this. Do you know where your soul came from? Your spirit and soul came from God. Okay? If God says, I put my breath in you, and I give you eternal life, and you are destroying that life, what are you going to give me in exchange? I gave you the soul, what are you going to give me back? Nothing. We cannot pay anything to God, right? God has given us everything. Jesus Christ gave the last drop of blood. what we going to give it to the Lord. So simply say, Lord, thank you. You gave your life for me. I cannot do anything. I cannot exchange anything what you have given to me. I have nothing to give it to you. Just I'm receiving your gift freely. And that's what God wants. He did not charge us anything, right? He says, freely I'm giving my life to you. And still people think it's too difficult. When you tell somebody, would you like to receive Jesus Christ? No. What is causing you? What you have to pay for it? Nothing. But why they say no? Because they think the fun in this world is better than receiving Jesus Christ. But when they come to the deathbed, then they would know, I wasted my life this many years. So God has given us chance. If God asks us, I gave you this life, I gave you eternal life, and what did you do with my life? It's not our life, it's God's life. We are alive, it's not because of us, it's because of God. So we cannot give anything back to God. We should be thankful what we have. Verse 38.
Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Now this word so many people didn't understand properly. You know what the people are thinking? When you are born again, and when you are born again, you start committing sin, you're not going to lose your salvation. You're going to lose your reward. Or you're going to lose your fellowship with God. Where they got this? Adam committed sin and he lost the fellowship with God. Did God keep him? No, he kicked him out. Right? So once you commit sin, you are cut off from the fellowship of God. And when the fellowship is cut off, then where are you going to go? There is only one place. Go with God or go with the devil. Now somebody says, once we are children, we are always children. Okay, let me give you an example. There was a Lazarus and there was a rich man, right? Both were Jewish people. Lazarus called Abraham father, and the rich man called Abraham father. But Lazarus went to the bosom of the Abraham. Rich man went to hell. He calls, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to put his pinky in the water and put it on my tongue. Where was the son? In a hell. So sonship doesn't change, but the places do change. You cannot say, I am a child of God and God is not going to send me to hell. If you did the works of the devil and you became the sons of the devil, and you call, Father is my father, that rich man also called Father Abraham, but he was still in hell. So here the word of God is saying, if you deny me in this world, then I will deny you. Where? Not in heaven, on earth. He says, when I come back to this earth. People are thinking, oh, he will just ignore them in heaven or just deny this. No glory, nothing they will get. No, that's not the meaning. Read one more time and see what he's saying. It's on earth when Jesus comes back.
Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
What he's trying to say, now we are living in this world. We have brothers and sisters and husbands and wife and bosses and everybody. And so we don't like to be Christian because somebody will say something. Oh, you're a fanatic. Why do you believe in Jesus? The Jesus people are freaks. They are bad people. Are you joined with those people? And oh, no, I'm not. I'm not a Christian. See, I smoke, I drink, I do everything like you do. I'm not a Christian. I'm just like you. What they're doing? They're denying the word of God. And they are pleasing the adulterous generation. And so he said, they are ashamed of Jesus to calling themselves Christian. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. What St. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that gives me power to preach the gospel and gives me power to live on this earth. It's a glorious thing to be a Christian. Not ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed. We are the sons of God and daughters of God. Why you should be ashamed? But he says, if you deny me on this earth, because you want to please this sinful generation, and you want to please your wife, your girlfriend, or your relatives, okay, when I come back, I will deny you also. That means I will say, who are you? I don't remember you. So you will going to go to hellfire. Why? Because the judgment is coming. Jesus Christ is coming to judge the world. He is not coming to die again. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28, if you read, it says, there is day appointed once to die after that judgment. And he is not coming back to die again, but he's coming to judge. So our Jesus is coming back to judge. And if I deny him, and I was ashamed of him telling others about Christianity or Christ, then he said, I'm going to deny you, because he's coming back with his holy angels, means coming to this earth for a millennium. The millennium kingdom is finished, then there will be a great white throne judgment, and every sinners will be judged. But the believers won't be judged, because the word of God says, once we confess our sins, and once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, St. John chapter 5, verse 24, he says, we are passed from death unto life, and no condemnation. Please read, we are going to finish here.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Condemnation means judgment. The person who believes Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and lives according to his word, he says that person passed from death unto life, and no condemnation. There is no judgment. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1 and 2.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
See, here he is saying, no condemnation for whom? The people who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. If you live in this world and let your flesh run your life, and you live worldly life, and then you will be condemned. But if you live according to the Word of God, and live according to the Spirit of God, then there is no judgment. Verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
See, what the spiritual law, he says, makes me free. I'm not bound to anything. The Word of God says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Free from what? Free from all kinds of sinful activities, free from all kinds of sickness and disease, free from even death. We are the free people. So he says, God has set you free. No law can bind you. Just like if I am not committing crime and I'm driving, I'm not afraid of police siren because I'm a free man. I'm not worried. But if I murder somebody or if I rob the bank and the police siren comes, then I'm afraid because they are after me. If I didn't do anything, I'm not afraid of any police. So same message, if you live in spirit, you are a free man. You are not afraid because the law and sin kills you. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the sin kills you, but Jesus gives you eternal life. Okay, Mark chapter 9, verse 1.
And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power.
Now, when you read this verse, many people do not understand this scripture. Because if you read in this, he says, some of you standing here, he's talking to his disciples. They were listening to him, and they were standing in front of him, and he says, some of you are standing here, you will not taste the death until you see the kingdom of God come with the power. when they read this scripture, you know what they say? Jesus Christ was going to show them on the mountain, transfiguration, his power, that he's God, and that's what he was talking about. From these scriptures, if you read very carefully, and he said unto them, which shall not taste the death until they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, all of these disciples didn't die within 6 days, did they? No. And that he was saying, you people are not going to die. You are going to see the kingdom of God coming with power. Because at that time, 12 disciples were alive. Out of 12, he took only 3 disciples with him. Peter, James, and John. You people are not going to die until you see the kingdom of God comes with the power. Only 3 people saw it. Other people didn't see it. So that was not the kingdom of God came with the power on the mountain. You understand the point? Because many people make a mistake when they read these 2 verses together. They say, this is what Jesus Christ was saying. But I'm going to explain to you. The only thing I can see, when Jesus Christ, before he died, one person died. Who was that? Judah. Judah died before Jesus died. So they became 11 disciples. So now, some of them will not see this kingdom. So the Judah was out. After the resurrection, Jesus Christ says, you will receive the power from above. And so that power was a great, mighty power came on the day of Pentecost. And that's the time the church established. And the kingdom of God started in the hearts of the believers. And that's the kingdom he was trying to say. Because the Holy Spirit did not come silently, came with a mighty power. Many people making mistakes, they are thinking this kingdom he was talking about, transfiguration on the mountain, but it's not. Okay, verse 2.
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus.
His face changed, his clothes changed, and then they saw Elijah and Moses. And when they saw it, Elijah and Moses talking to Jesus, but they didn't hear anything what he was talking. Just they saw. When they saw these things, Peter got the idea. Peter starts saying to the 3 tabernacle, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And that's what he gave the suggestion. And why Peter was saying this? Because Peter did not want Jesus Christ to suffer on the cross. Peter loved Jesus so much, and he says, you know, I want you to stay here. And then we will have 3 houses, and we will be safe in this mountain. Why Jesus took these people there? Because Peter, James, and John, they were going to be a spiritual leaders in future. So Jesus wanted to let them know he is not the ordinary person like they are thinking. They were thinking Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, they are all the same. Jesus Christ was a prophet, but at the same time, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But up to now, they thought he's the Messiah, he's the prophet, and so Elijah and Moses and Jesus is equal. So Jesus Christ wanted these people to know, I am not equal unto them, my position is higher. Let's read further. Read from verse 4.
And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him."
Now hear what happened. They heard Moses and Elijah talking. They didn't know what they were talking. When Peter said, "I want Jesus, Moses, and Elijah living in this mountain in separate three houses." And the word of God says they were afraid. They didn't know what to say to Jesus. And Jesus did not answer anything. But the word of God says they heard the voice from heaven. Mark does not give you the full voice from heaven. He just gave the last part of it. But go to the Matthew 17:5.
While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him."
See, Matthew is saying, they heard the voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." What he's trying to say, indirectly, I'm not well pleased with Moses. I'm not well pleased with Elijah. But I'm well pleased with my Son. Because if you study the life of Moses and Elijah, Moses disobeyed God. King's wife said, "I'm going to kill you." So what he starts saying, he says, "Lord, I'm not good enough. Kill me. I want to die." So he was frustrated. He didn't want to leave and do the job what God told him. Moses, the same thing. He says, "I'm tired of these people. I cannot lead these people. You better send somebody else." So God was not pleased with them. God was not pleased with Moses. That's why he said, "You are not going to go to promised land. You just stand here on the mountain and see it." Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15 and verse 18.
"The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken."
Now here, this is Moses saying. He said, "I'm tired of you people, but God is going to raise a prophet from the brethren, and you will listen to him. You don't listen to me, but God is going to send another man. And he's a Jewish man, means he's coming from the brethren. You will listen to him." When he said that, God approved what he said. Read the verse 18.
"I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him."
Now here he's saying, "Moses, whatever you're saying, I'm going to do it. I am going to send a prophet just like you from your brother. And then these people will hear him." Now, what prophet they were talking, means Moses didn't know what kind of prophet God is going to send, but God knew. God was going to send his Son as a prophet.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.